Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the Air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's about 5 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater program, 392 in the series. It is June 2nd. It's Sunday night, and we have classic radio shows until 2 o'clock in the morning. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf is here. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Carl.
We have Shantae Garth in the booth, our producer, and Life with Luigi. We'll start things off from 1942, J. Carroll Nash starring as Luigi Basco, the little immigrant. And then it's the CBS Radio Workshop with Ralph Bell in a good sports drama. You could look it up. It's where they actually had a little person bat in a World Series game. Very interesting story from 1957. You're going to love that. But first, we're going to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Sponsored by Cat's Pride.
Right. The celebrity is Leonardo DiCaprio. And the prize will be the desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers.
All right. What caller would you
like? We're going to go with caller number 3. Call now, 312-981-7200. Call right now. Play the game, and we will be right back.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
So we're going to get ridiculous with Frank. He's on the phone. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Hi, Frank.
Great. Thank you.
Terrific. We're going to do a little real or ridiculous with Leonardo DiCaprio. You ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
You betcha.
Terrific. Number one. In 2006, he produced, co-wrote, and narrated an environmental documentary titled Mission Blue. Is that real or ridiculous?
I would say it's real.
I agree with Frank.
It is not real.
Oh, man.
No. So sorry.
You know why I'm agreeing with Frank? He sounds pretty tough. I don't want him to beat me up.
You know, I saw Carl looking at me. I feel like he's looking for clues. So don't worry. I'm not giving him any.
Frank, I'm going to hire Frank as my bodyguard. I'm telling you. I can
Frank,
tell.
Frank, are you a bodyguard?
Frank's a big guy.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
You
don't mess with Frank.
You know what, Frank? Carl could use a bodyguard.
I can.
All right, number two.
Sometimes.
He was one of people.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Hang on a second.
Wow.
All right, it's okay.
Number two, he was.
I've got 10 wrong in a row here.
That's true.
I haven't done too good at this game.
You're
going to
get
Frank.
The next one right.
All right.
He was one of People Magazine's 50 most beautiful people in the world in 1998. Real or ridiculous?
98. I'll say real.
It's a long time ago. 98. I'm agreeing with Frank.
That is absolutely true.
All right.
Back on the board. Number three. He's laughing at you. He was supposed to star in American Psycho, but dropped out due to schedule conflicts.
Huh.
Real or ridiculous?
I'm going to say it's real.
I agree. I think that is real.
That is real.
Yeah.
Of course, the role went to Christian Bale.
All right,
it's you.
Frank.
We have won the desktop indoor weather station and brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60 Minute Men. Give them a call at 855-955-HVAC. And you know what, Frank? I have the desktop indoor weather station, and I love my desktop indoor weather station, so I hope you love yours too.
I'm sure I will.
It's
Thank
terrific.
You so much.
Thanks,
Thank you
Frank.
For playing.
Take care, buddy. All right. He's a big winner. He has an indoor weather station, and I do not.
He will soon. He doesn't have it yet.
You have one. He's going to have one, and I don't.
That's true. You got to work really, really hard and be nice to everybody here at WGN, and you might get one.
I am nice to everybody.
You have to try harder.
You know, at the beginning of the show, I said we're on till 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. That was a mistake. We're on till 2 on Saturdays.
Carl has admitted to a mistake.
Not on Sundays. You know, I do make a lot of mistakes, and I'll tell you why. Want to know why, Lisa?
Sure.
Okay. When you were growing up and learning all kinds of stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
I was in my basement collecting classic radio shows and listening to the classic radio shows.
Are you sure that's what you were doing in your basement?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I was cataloging them. Uh-huh. You know, I had little index cards and cataloging all the shows and cutting tape and all this. And I really was not part of the whole, like,
world.
The rest of the world out there. I was collecting 100,000 classic radio shows.
You know, all kids have
decades.
Yours happened to be a passion that you are able to use as an adult, but a lot of us had these passions that we just no longer use anymore.
I didn't have a childhood. No.
I think that your mom would disagree with that.
Regular childhood.
Well, it wasn't regular, that's for sure.
That's for sure. I've never been regular.
You had a childhood, but I probably wasn't right in the normal range.
Right.
That's okay.
But
that
I think there
me.
Is some truth to that, though. I was, you know, cataloging classic radio shows and listening to the Life with Luigi. And everybody else was learning things. And, you know, I was like Ed the Vault Guard, you know, on Jack Benny.
Sure.
That was me. I was Ed the Vault Guard. I was down there and Jack would come down and he'd tell Ed what's going on in the world.
And
he'd
that's
be like,
my job
really?
Now? Is that my
you know?
Job?
Oh, there's airplanes now, you know?
Right.
Wow, really? You know,
all right, well, we're going to try to get you up to speed.
I think there's some truth to all this.
Okay.
So take it easy on me when I don't, you know, when
all
I
right.
say limb instead of ledge.
That was fantastic.
Like I did yesterday.
I'm going to go out on a ledge.
I'm going to go out on a ledge here. I said ledge yesterday instead of limb.
That's okay. You are your own person.
Because I didn't have a
you
childhood.
You should just feel like confident
you
in yourself.
You had a childhood.
So did you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what, Lisa?
What?
We have a text in line.
We
312-981-7200. Numbers I have. You know why? Because I had a crush on my geometry teacher back then. So numbers I paid attention to.
Well, that year, anyways.
312-981-7200. That is the text in line.
And the quiz was on Leonardo DiCaprio, for those of you who missed that.
It was. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Life with Luigi, my mom's favorite classic radio show. Comedy series, J. Carroll Nash starred as the newly naturalized American citizen, Luigi Basco. He lived right here in Chicago on this series, and he wrote letters to his Mamma Mia in Italy, telling of his adventures here and starting his business. And, you know, he had an antique shop. That's what he ran. And his sponsor was Pasquale, played by Alan Reed, who was the voice of Fred Flintstone. Now, Alan Reed, as Pasquale, owned a spaghetti palace. It was called Pasquale's Spaghetti Palace, I think. And his daughter, Rosa, she was a tad overweight. Rosa liked pasta, I'll tell you that.
Oh, don't we all?
And she was played by Jody Gilbert. And his number one mission in life, Pasquale, was to get Luigi to marry Rosa.
Yeah.
It was created by Cy Howard, who also created My Friend Irma. Came to radio in 1948, lasted until 1953, was sponsored by Wrigley's Gum, and it even made a transition to television in 1952. I've never seen any of the TV shows, though.
No.
Yep. Heard a lot of the radio shows.
That's for sure.
And we have one for you now called Night School Essay from March 25th, 1952. J. Carroll Nash now stars in Life with Luigi.
The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum invite you to enjoy Life with Luigi, a comedy show created by Cy Howard, directed by Mac Benoff, and starring that celebrated actor, Mr. J. Carroll Nash, with Alan Reed as Pasquale. Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum brings you Luigi as he writes another letter describing his adventures in America to his Mama Basco in Italy.
Dear Mamma Mia, the wonderful thing about America is all of the free things that they got here. They got a post office where you can fill up your fountain of pen for free. Then they got a free library where you can go in and take out a book and maybe read a magazine or just take a little nap. It costs you nothing, and unless you snore, then they throw you out. And also they got a free museum where you can go and see how the people was looked 1,000 years ago. Mommy, I guess they didn't have much to eat. They all look like bones. But then they got a free concerts, and they got a free art galleries, free lectures. And they even got free hospitals where you're going to get a sticker for nothing. But to me, mommy, the best thing they got in America is the free schools. And every night when I go to my night school, I feel so happy. I'm always singing, America, I love you. You're like a papa to me, from the ocean to ocean.
Quiet, I'll call the roll. Mr. Basco? Here. Mr. Harwood? Here. Mr. Olson? Here. Mr. Schultz? I'm here and you're stuck with me.
Smile, fellow poopers. Remember, life is the battlefront and school is the zero hour.
Mr. Schultz, we'll give you a chance to collect some zeros soon enough. Now, class, let's try to finish our lesson early today so that I can tell you about a little contest our principal, Mr. Orth, has planned for you.
Well, what's the kind of contest, Miss Balding?
Well, it makes absolutely no difference at all. If brains are required, I am sure to be the winner.
Oh, yeah. Orton, I got $10 that says I win.
Is that so?
Put up or shut up.
All right, I'll put up.
Then I'll shut up. Oh, you stepped right into that one, Orton.
All right, gentlemen, enough of that. Let's get on with the civics lesson now. Mr. Basco, I hope you studied for today. Please tell us how many members are there in the president's cabinet.
9.
Good. That gets us off to a fine start. Mr. Horowitz, you may begin naming the titles.
With pleasure. The Secretary of State, the Secretary of the Treasury, the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of the Interior, the Secretary of Labor.
Himmel, never have so many secretaries sat on one lap.
Please. All right, Mr. Schultz, Mr. Horowitz named 5. You may finish naming the other 4 positions.
Quarterback, fullback, halfback, and tackle.
Mr. Schultz, are you going to break our nice record?
No, mate, I really did study today. Where did Horowitz leave off?
Secretary of Labor.
He said Secretary of Interior?
Yes.
All right. Secretary of Exterior.
Wrong. There is no such secretary.
Not so loud, Miss Balding. If Congress hears about it, they'll go right out and appoint one.
Well, you did fair, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Olson, you may name the other 4 members of the cabinet.
Just their names? Miss Balding, wouldn't you want their states and their salaries?
Sure, and while you're at it, also their height, weight, and birthmark.
Just the positions, Mr. Olson.
The remaining cabinet members include the Attorney General, the Postmaster General, the Secretary of Agriculture, and the Secretary of Commerce.
Excellent, let's keep it up. Mr. Basco, now you may tell us the name of the Secretary of State.
Secretary of State?
Dean G. His last name reminds us of a railroad.
Secretary Choo-Choo?
Morning, he tried. At least he was on the right track. Smile, everybody.
Mr. Horowitz, tell him.
Dean Acheson, Secretary of State.
Of course. Now, Mr. Basco, see if you can't redeem yourself. Can you name the Secretary of the Treasury?
Oh, sure. That's Janet W. Snyder.
Go on. Secretary of Defense?
And it's Mr. Robert... Rabbit and Lovett.
Yes, excellent. You surprised me, Mr. Basco.
I'm surprised myself, Miss Paul.
Now then, Mr. Schultz, let me see if you can continue the good work. Secretary of Agriculture?
Charles F. Brennan?
Are you sure?
If I'm right, then I'm sure.
You were right. Do you know the Secretary of the Interior, Mr. Schultz?
The Oscar L. Chapman?
Yes.
Ah, Miss Balding, next time say guilty or innocent right away before I get a heart attack.
One more for you, Mr. Schultz.
Please, Miss Balding, let's not push our luck too far.
Very well, you did fine, Mr. Schultz. Mr. Olson, you may name the remaining cabinet members for us.
Attorney General J. Howard McGrath. Postmaster General Jesse M. Donaldson. Secretary of Commerce Charles Sawyer. And... Is there one still missing, Miss Balding?
Yes.
Lock up the cabinet. Call the FBI. There's a kidnapper in the house.
Come now. Just one answer for a perfect record. Mr. Basco, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, well, Secretary of Labor is Maurice J. Tobin.
Wonderful. I think that's the best showing we've all had in months.
Now, why don't we just take a bow, close the theater, and go home?
No, not the theater, Schultz, because remember, Miss Balding is going to tell us about the contest.
Oh, yes. The title of our little essay contest is 3 words.
3 words?
You mean
That's all we got, right?
But even the radio contest allows you 25 words with 3 salt coupons.
Well, let me finish, class. 3 words is merely the title of the essay. Now listen carefully, because I think our principal has an interesting idea. What are the 3 most important words in guiding your life?
The most important words guiding our life?
Yes, you've all read articles like 7 ways to improve yourself and 2 steps to success. Now, we want all of you to try an inspirational essay. The 3 most important words in guiding your life.
Stop. I know what it is. I once said 2 words that I would give $1,000 to buy back.
Oh, really? What were those words, Mr. Schultz?
I do. I was only joking.
Miss Polly, you know, for me, it's only 1 word. America.
Well, that's an excellent thought, Mr. Basco, but we are not allowed proper names.
Ah, too bad. That rules out my other 3.
What was that? Schultz.
Patty, Laverne, and Maxine.
Well, class, you have until this Friday, at which time our principal, Mr. Orth, will come in and hear our essays and award the prize to the winner. A beautiful dictionary.
Well, that's a fair exchange. 3 words for 3 million words. I just thought of the 3 words, Miss Balding.
Well, don't tell us, Mr. Schultz.
And I thought of the voice that's got to win.
You don't be too sure. Olsen never loses.
Well, I don't know about that, because you always say it's easy, but to me, I'm attempt to think of no words.
Ah, wonderful. I got 1 down and 2 to go.
Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello.
Oh, hello, Pasquale.
Hey, what are you reading, the little banana nose?
A book.
What kind?
Well, it's a 10-cent dictionary.
Why?
I'm going to find the 3 words.
3 words for a dime? That's a sound like inflation. What's this 3-word business anyway, huh?
Well, it's for a school contest.
School. Luigi, what do you expect to get from all this school stuff, huh?
Well, is it going to make me a better citizen?
I see, a better citizen, huh? That means instead of waiting 4 years like everybody else, are you going to be allowed to vote for president once every year?
No, it's not that. It just means I'm going to understand more and more about America and the history about America.
Luigi. History is something what's a past and a forgotten, like last week's meatballs. Look, my boy, you want to be smart. You should have stopped reading the books, read the paper every day like I do. That's where you get a real education.
Yeah?
Sure.
Well, Pasquale, you tell me, who's the Postmaster General?
Huh? Who cares who's the Postmaster General? I only buy the stamps from a private.
No, Pasquale, that's not the answer. It's a Jesse Donaldson.
I don't care if it's a Jesse James. No one a junk like that ain't even going to buy you 1 pound of butter in a grocery store. Luigi, if you want a good example of success without education, just look at me.
Well, I'm a looking at Pasquale.
Hey, I never went to school 1 day in my life. I never read 1 book. And I bet I got a brain that's a second hand to nobody.
Pasquale, you're so right. Hey, you got a real second hand brain.
That's a funny thing. When I say it, it's a come out of different. Luigi, put down the book and listen to me. The minute you stop for school and start doing a man's work, I'm going to give you $5,000.
Yeah, but Pasquale, what do you mean by man's work?
Marrying my daughter, Rosa.
Goodbye.
Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to collect my unemployment insurance.
Don't be so iffity-puffity. Now, look, Luigi, I'll tell you something.
No, Pasquale, please. I'm too busy now to argue with you. I'm got to find these 3 words by Friday.
All right, so advertise it, lost and found. What is this, a crazy 3-word talk, anyway?
It's a very important contest, Pasquale.
Huh?
I'm got to find the 3 most important words that's a guide to my life. Words that I'm a believe in and that means everything to me.
Luigi, stop. But don't go no further. I got it already.
Oh, you got it, Pasquale? What is it? What is the word, Pasquale?
Money, marriage, and Rosa.
Pasquale, never mind. I'm going to find out to myself.
How are you going to find out, Luigi? English language has got over 20 billion words, and they all weigh the same. How you know what's the most important?
Yeah, but Pasquale, somebody must know.
Oh, Luigi, stop acting like a maroon. In America, the three biggest words is a money, moolah, and a mazuma.
No, Pasquale, you're wrong.
I am, huh? Tell me one thing a money can't buy in America.
Well, there's a lot of things, go ahead, name one thing. Well,
love. Today, there ain't a girl you couldn't marry if you had enough money. Position, Luigi, I guarantee you, if you had enough money, you could even become a millionaire.
No, please, Pasquale, you're not helping me, Pasquale. You're not helping me at all but I never thought I'm going to have so much trouble finding the three little words. But there must be three words, and I'm going to find them.
All right, a stubborn donkey. You go out looking for those three words until you get old and gray, and then when it's too late, the three words is going to find you.
What the three words?
Rest in a peace.
You can almost see Fred Flintstone there, you know, like the cartoon of Fred Flintstone, because that's his voice.
His voice sounds exactly the same to me.
Yeah, well, yeah. He used his regular voice on the television,
yeah.
On the cartoon, Fred Flintstone. All right, it's Life with Luigi, Part 1, March 25th, 1952, Night School Essay. J. Carroll Nash, along with Alan Reed there. We'll get back to it in just a moment.
Drivers, please stay alert when driving in all of our child-filled areas. Arrive alive, don't text and drive. This message from Jack's Martin Muffler in Chicago. They're the muffler pioneer specializing in duals, catalytic converters, truck exhaust, and custom pipe bending. For service, stop by 6545 Southwestern Avenue in Chicago or call 773-737-8200. 773-737-8200. That's Jack's Martin Muffler reminding everyone to arrive alive, don't text and drive.
All right. When we come back from news, we will have the conclusion to Life with Luigi. Then a little later, it's a CBS Radio Workshop. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't miss You Could Look It Up, starring Ralph Bell from 1957. But
back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Vic. It is 11:35 on a Sunday night. We are listening to Life with Luigi, J. Carroll Nash as Luigi Basco. This is a show called Night School Essay. Let's go back to March 25th, 1952, for the conclusion to Life with Luigi.
Now let's turn to page 2 of Luigi Basco's letter to his mother in Italy.
Well, mamma mia, what would you think is the three most important words in a guide in your life? Number one, I'm going to have a lot of but I don't think I know enough. It is more smarter people than me in the books. So I thought I would look in them. In a drugstore can was lots of books at 25 cents. Murder in a G-flat. Homicide, please. Suicide for Susie. And also in the middle was a book by Shakespeare, and believe me, mamma mia, poor Shakespeare is a look scared to death. Well, I found nothing there, and I was just going to go to the library when in it come my friend Schultz.
Luigi, my fellow pupil.
Hello, Schultz. Hey, Schultz, you find the three words yet?
Ach, midnight. Luigi, don't even bother to show up for the contest. That beautiful prize dictionary is practically holding up the broken leg of my sofa right now.
Well, Schultz, maybe it's funny to you, but I wish I could find it three good words.
Ach, Luigi, don't worry. Just find three plain everyday words. You know, like love, honor, and obey. Win, place, and show. It is not so hard.
Yes, it's hard. If I'm telling people how they live, they got to be most important words in life. But I'm too small to get such words.
Well, if you ain't going to get them, you ain't got no answer.
Wait. Hey, sure, sir. I'm going to ask people and get ideas from them.
Huh?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask lots of people, and I'm going to pick out what I'm hearing the most.
That's what you're going to do?
Yeah, yeah. It's like the Gallup's poll, only I'm going to take the Basco poll.
A Basco poll? What's that, Italian basketball?
Why am I not thinking this before, Schultz? Sure, I'm going to ask the American people right in the streets what's the three most important words to them.
Ah, that's good, Luigi. And smile. Be like me, always happy, always laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Ooh, my rheumatism is killing me.
Well, I'm going to try this fellow first. Excuse me, mister.
Yeah?
What's the most important words in English language?
Beat it.
That's only two words. Excuse me, mister.
Yeah?
I'm taking a Basco poll. Please, what do you think is the three most important words in English language?
Are you a reporter?
No, I'm not going to report to you to nobody.
What is this? I don't go for the sidewalk interview stuff.
All right, then we're talking together. Come on.
Look, I gotta get home.
No, please, mister. Just three words. Words that's gonna bring people success.
Okay. I'll give you the three words that'll make your fortune.
What's the words?
Rob a bank.
Well, here's the part. Maybe in there, the people, they don't rush you so much. Maybe I'm going to get a better answer. Hey, there's a fella, I think. Yeah, I think I'm going to see him before. Excuse me, friend.
Huh?
I'm taking a Basco poll. Please, maybe you're going to tell me most important words in English language.
How many words?
Three most important words.
I deal dog food.
I deal a dog food. That's the two most important words in the language.
If you're a dog, they are.
Mister, maybe he's a bigger joker to you, mister.
Look, friend, if you got some sad story and you're looking for a soft shoulder to lean on, count me up. I cry too easy.
No, please, you don't understand, mister. All I'm want is just three words from you. Three most important words in your life.
You mean it?
Sure.
Honest engine?
Yeah, sure. What's your three words?
Mother, come home.
That's your three words?
I never had no mother, friend, except maybe when I was born. You know what it means to go through life without a mother?
What a man.
Every Mother's Day, I send flowers to myself.
I feel very sorry for you, my friend.
You got a mother?
Yes, sir.
Where is she?
In her belly.
I hope you don't go home for lunches. Friend, you should go home to your mother. Love her. Cherish her. M is for the million things.
No,
mister. Oh, me, she's growing old.
No, please, don't cry.
She is for the tears. She's just the same.
She was crying.
All is right and right, you'll always be.
Right.
Put them all together, they shall know.
Don't mean to me.
Tell the truth. It's a happen. Like I said, it's a happen. It's a happen.
Yeah, but please, Pasquale, don't bother me. Now, how can the people act like that? Everybody's just so crazy.
I told you, you get the brush off for people that they hate each other. Three words is a lot of baloney. Luigi, is it just the one word for you?
One?
Yes, and I called her in now. Rosa! Rosa! Rosa!
You couldn't come here!
Rosa, tell Luigi what's the three most important words in the English language.
Breakfast, dinner, and supper.
Oh, shut up. Rosa, think of what you would like most of all. Think of the future. Now tell Luigi the three most important words out there.
Triplets.
Luigi, ain't that the sweetest thing you ever heard, eh?
No, but Pasquale, you're in Russia, you're making me crazy with your stupid talk and everything.
Why?
And that's
why?
What you're doing.
Huh?
Mommy, listen to me, I'm hollering. Forgive me, Pasquale, and also forgive me. Forgive me? Mommy, I'm a goddess!
Papa, what's he got?
I don't know, Russell, but I know it's not you.
Excellent, Mr. Schultz. Wouldn't you say so, Mr. Orr?
Yes, fun, friendship, and happiness. These three words would certainly improve the world.
Also, a lot of radio programs. Smile, everybody, smile. And give me the dictionary, Mr. Orr.
Please, Mr. Schultz, we haven't finished all the essays yet.
And Schultz, I don't think your words will beat mine. Liberty, equality, family.
Those were excellent choices, Mr. Horowitz. Yes. Liberty, equality, family.
And how? Ask any man with a family. He's dying for some liberty.
Mr. Olson, your essay, please.
Thank you. Three words to guide you. One, knowledge. The beacon light illuminating man's movements. Two, ambition. Without ambition, there is no progress. Three, perseverance. Because nothing great is ever accomplished unless you constantly over and over keep putting your shoulder to the wheel and forever keep your nose to the grindstone.
Sure, and in 2 years we got no shoulders and no noses.
Please, Mr. Schultz.
Excellent. Three capital words. Knowledge, ambition, perseverance. Do you suppose you can beat them, Mr. Basco?
You've been very quiet, Mr. Basco.
Well, Miss Bunning and Mr. Orton and my class... My first word, I'm gonna have to ask a lot of people advice. Maybe they was too busy thinking about other important things, business, troubles, or maybe just to themselves. Any word that was act bad, at least I'm think so. People, they gotta have a time for the others. All the world is gotta have a time for each other, or maybe we're gonna have a no world. That's why I'm think of tolerance. This is no mean only tolerance for race and religion or the color. That's a mean tolerance for grown-ups to children, country for country, one to each other. And that's why I'm going to give that word. And that's bringing me to my second word, which we got to have. Forgiveness. I suppose it's almost like a tolerance, but if there's no forgiveness, then we all are going to be on each other's throats. And my third word is hope. Always I'm gonna hope for better people, better world, and I'm not forgetting a better me.
Well, there goes my dictionary.
Well, there you have them, Mr. Orth. Are you ready with the decision?
Yes.
Who's the winner?
There is no winner.
Ah.
You mean there's no dictionary?
On the contrary, Miss Spaulding. Here is the fact. I have four dictionaries. You see, my essay contest can have no winner, for there are no three words that can best guide us in our lives. Many have been considered, and yours are equally good. Mr. Horowitz, your dictionary?
Thank you.
Mr. Schultz?
Thanks.
Mr. Olson?
Thank you.
And Mr. Basco, of your wonderful words, you fortified my belief that we must all think in positive terms. There are no set rules of life, no groups of words, no trick combinations. Rather, Let us in our daily lives try to choose words like forgiveness, love, charity, tolerance, kindness, truth, patience, hope, peace, liberty. Let us shun the words that have brought destruction, envy, greed, hate, war, intolerance, anger, lies, deceit. And in this way, enrich our lives and the lives of our children.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Arthur. You say so many beautiful things. Honey, you had the wonderful idea. And I want to tell you, Mr. Arthur, I'm learned a lot.
We sure did. Sure, that's true. Too true.
And what about you, Mr. Schultz?
Well, as long as I got my dictionary, I'm going to throw in another three words.
What's that, Schultz?
Papo, Chico, and Groucho.
Well, Mamma Mia, I'm learned a lot from the essay contest today. And I wish you could see the beautiful new Webster dictionary I'm got for my prize. I'm sat and I read this dictionary for 3 hours tonight. And it was lots of good words. And I'm going to try to use it like Mr. Ortiz say. But the one word that's a sound the most beautiful to me when I was a little boy and now and forever is Mamma Mia. Your loving son, Luigi Basco, little immigrant.
Friends, the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum hope you enjoyed tonight's episode of Life with Luigi, and they want to remind you that it's a good idea to have a few packages of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum in your home at all times. Wrigley's Spearmint is a delicious taste treat that everyone can enjoy. Give it to children when they want something good between meals. It won't spoil their appetite. Enjoy Wrigley's Spearmint Gum often yourself and passing it around when friends drop in. They'll appreciate your thoughtfulness, and because they know that familiar package of Wrigley's Spearmint means real chewing enjoyment. They know, too, that chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum freshens the taste and aids digestion. So next time you go to the store, get a few packages of refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Your family will enjoy it, and your friends will, too.
The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum invite you to be sure to listen next week at this time when Luigi Basco writes another letter to his Mama Basco in Italy. Life with Luigi is a Cy Howard production. Pat Burton is associate producer. The script is written by Mac Benoff and Lou Derman and directed by Mr. Benoff. J. Carol Nash is starred as Luigi Basco with Alan Reed as Pasquale, Jody Gilbert as Rosa, Mary Schiff as Miss Spaulding, Joe Forte as Horowitz, and Ken Peters as Olson. The music is under the direction of Lud Gluskin, Mrs. Charles Lyon. This is CBS Radio Network.
That's Life with Luigi from March 25th, 1952, Night School Essay. J. Carol Nash starring as Luigi Basco. Also in that cast, we had Alan Reed, and Mary Schiff was the teacher, and Jody Gilbert was Rosa, and that was sponsored by Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, as heard on CBS. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Living in all of our child-filled areas, arrive alive, don't text and drive. This message from Jack's Martin Muffler in Chicago. They're the muffler pioneer specializing in duals, catalytic converters, trust exhaust, and custom pipe bending. For service, stop by 6545 Southwestern Avenue in Chicago or call 773-737-8200. 773-737-8200. That's Jack's Martin Muffler reminding everyone to arrive alive, don't text and drive.
Well, it's June 2nd, and you know what that means, Lisa. Every single month, we put out 10 more classic radio shows to our Classic Radio Club members. Now, if you are a Classic Radio Club member, then you know that you will be getting 10 great classic radio shows, tremendous sound quality, and liner notes sent to you on 5 CDs in a collector case. And those collector cases have pictures of all the stars on there and everything. And again, liner notes with that. Or you can get those same 10 shows emailed to you at your through your computer, and then you can Bluetooth them, whatever you want to do to your car. That's what I do. I Bluetooth it in my car. So the Classic Radio Club is a club that Lisa and I and Mike came up with maybe almost a year ago now, I think, Lisa. I think it's been about a year. We have hundreds and hundreds of our listeners are members of the Classic Radio Club. And every month you will get 10 classic radio shows that I choose from the master recordings. Tremendous sound quality, and Mike Estella does a tremendous job of digitally remastering them, and I write these liner notes for everyone, and you're going to get things that you just won't believe. I mean, the quality, and plus some of the best shows, and maybe shows you didn't even know existed.
Well, what I'm thinking is we have 5 hours each week on WGN, but you have over 100,000 shows, so we could only play so many on WGN, and if you love classic radio, this is your opportunity to hear even more classic radio, also in pristine quality, because I think that we are the only person who can give you the type of quality that we play here on WGN.
Yeah, we license these shows from the people that created them or their estates, and oftentimes their kids or grandkids. Like with Abbott and Costello, we license from both Lou Costello's kids and grandkids and Bud Abbott's grandkids, and we get, let's say, Tales of the Texas Rangers from Stacy Keach.
Right.
His father created the series.
Right. So what I'm saying is you can't get what we're sending you anywhere else but through the Classic Radio Club,
right.
And we promise you will be happy with the quality. And we know that you'll love the club, so it's only $1. Give it a shot. See what you think.
Yeah.
Check it out at ClassicRadioClub.com.
We wanted to make it really easy for you to try the club, so we made the first month only $1. So if you try it out for $1 and you don't want to stay a member, you can cancel at any time. But it's a great way to get the greatest shows of all time sent to you each and every month. So go to ClassicRadioClub.com. We'd love you to join. And there's also testimonials at the website. You can read what your fellow listeners are saying about being a member of the Classic Radio Club. All right, in our next hour, Lisa, we're going to listen to a fun sports show on the CBS Radio Workshop. It's a dramatization of the play. You could look it up. Ralph Bell stars in there. And that's when they, I think it was a World Series game, and we needed to win that game. And so the manager of the game had signed a little person to, and it'd be tough to pitch to a little person batting in the in a major league game. So we're going to hear that story. That's in our next hour right here on the WGN Radio Theater. Don't forget, we're here every Saturday and Sunday night, and we start at 11 p.m. We go till 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, and then we go to 1 o'clock in the morning on Sundays, 5 hours, as Lisa just said. So check it out, and make sure you tell a friend, and make sure you set your alarm to get up at 11 p.m. and listen to our show, right?
Is that what you do?
Well, I set it for, I take a nap usually before I come here. Because
did you take one today?
Like a half an hour.
Yeah, I can
normally,
tell.
Normally, I am in bed by about 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's tough to, you know, without a nap.
I'll keep you awake.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll have some coffee in a little bit.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Vic. It is 5 minutes after midnight, which means it's Monday morning, and it's June 3rd, Monday morning. It's going to be nice today. It's supposed to be like 70-something degrees of a baseball game. I'm going to play a little bit ball. And speaking of baseball, we have a baseball radio show about when, I can't remember who the manager was, and put a little person up to bat in a World Series game. It was called You Could Look It Up. What microphone is that there? Four?
Hang on.
Five.
What was
that? Five? Was it? I thought it was the White Sox.
Bill Vec did
it. Yeah, Bill Vec did it. That's right. I thought it was like either the Cubs or the White Sox.
It was the White Sox, and he put up a person of short height.
Yeah.
And so that there was no strike zone.
I think he was going to say diminutive. Right?
No, he was not.
No?
I could have.
Yeah. Well, we have the story. It's called You Could Look It Up. We
really?
Have it coming
Roger,
up in this
you
hour.
You really could look it up.
Yeah. I'm sure you could.
No, you.
me.
You could look it up.
Yeah. Played baseball today. We won.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Cubs didn't win, though.
No.
I think I might need to play third base for
you
them or second.
Need to recruit
who's
some
on
talent?
First?
What's on second? So do they need any help? Well, you know, Javi, he's hurt right now, huh?
They've got a bunch of people that are. Yeah.
Well, I'm available. I mean, I think my team would lend me to the
Cubs. I don't know if your knees would hold up.
Yeah,
but
my left knee is not doing too good right now. Not running at my full speed of 4 miles an hour.
One of our smart listeners texted in and said, St. Louis Browns, not Sox.
St. Louis Browns?
Really?
Not Sox. What?
Well, we'll find out.
Oh, as the team they played against?
Yes.
Oh, I can yeah.
We're going to find out because we're going to play that episode.
Right, well, we're going to listen and we're going to find out.
Playing it in this hour.
Roger, you should look it up.
I could have looked it up, but I could also listen to the episode and learn all about it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Before we do that, we're going to play a little Real or Ridiculous.
You
would you
play?
Like to join us?
I would love to.
Great. The celebrity is Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. And we are going to be giving away a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling.
You know what his daughter's name is?
Well, whose daughter?
Candy.
Yep.
Caine.
That's kind of like armpit. We're on the same level here. Anyhow, so this is what we're going to do. Did you have a desktop indoor weather station?
And since my knee is hurt, Roger?
No, I don't.
Since my knee is hurt, I need a Caine.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Roger? I didn't.
No, I do not. My weather
station is on your phone.
He can't even think straight because he's laughing inside at my jokes. He doesn't want to laugh outside.
Did you see that Welcome Back, Cotter episode where he says, "I laugh inside"?
He doesn't want to give me the kudos of laughing. He's laughing at my I need a Caine joke.
I'm trying not to be sick. I left my medicine.
From Welcome Back, Cotter.
Up your nose, what a rubber hose.
No, he laughs inside.
That's what I remember from that show. That was the best show, wasn't it?
Welcome back, Cotter.
Where?
Yeah. Where?
Okay, anyhow, we lost track.
Mr. Cotter. Horseshack. Yeah. Oh, man, that was a great show.
All right, let her finish.
All right, sorry.
All right, we're gonna call right now. 312-981-7200. We're looking for caller number two.
Michael Caine.
Call now, and we will be right back. Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous. We've got Elliot on the phone to be a great Real or Ridiculous player. Hey, Elliot.
Hello.
How are you? I'm great. How are you?
Hi, Elliot.
I'm great.
Good.
Hey, she sounds vivacious.
Yeah, she is. She's very vivacious.
If you can't be vivacious at midnight, I don't know when you can.
Yeah.
So anyhow, we're going to do a little Real or Ridiculous. You've got Roger and Carl to play along, so it's kind of like a party here tonight.
Right.
Hey, Roger, right.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How are you?
All right, here we go. Number one. Well, this is Michael Caine. He got his inspiration to become an actor from Humphrey Bogart. Real or ridiculous? We'll start with you, Elliot.
I'm going to say real.
Real? Mm. Roger?
Yeah, I'll go with real.
Carl?
Carl? I'm going to disagree just because I'm going
to. Because you're disagreeable?
Just because I'm a disagreeable person.
You are, and unfortunately... Unfortunately, you're wrong, Carl.
Oh, yeah. I just
and Roger
stink at this
and Elliot
game.
Are correct.
All right, so here's for you guys. Here's for me. This is my theme song.
Humphrey Bogart is his favorite actor.
Really?
So now you know that.
Wow.
Number two.
Because he's British. Not Humphrey Bogart, but Michael Caine. And I thought
yes,
he would be, like someone from Britain, like Olivier or somebody like that, right? Wouldn't you think?
You were wrong the first time. You're still wrong.
Still wrong.
Yeah. Well.
All righty. Number two. He was nominated for Worst Supporting Actor at the Razzie Awards for his role in Without a Clue in 1988. Is that real or ridiculous?
Could have been. I'm going to go with ridiculous.
Roger?
I think it's real.
I think it's real.
It's ridiculous. You are absolutely right, Elliot.
Here you go, Elliot. Elliot knows his stuff. Here's for me and Roger. So now you're stealing my theme song, Roger?
Yeah, I think so.
Whatever Carl says, just go the other way.
Terrible. Yeah, I know. Okay. Terrible.
Number three.
I have to change this up.
Yesterday you were horrible.
Just to be fair, I almost switched.
Don't switch. I actually heard you about to talk, and I jumped right in there. I helped you out. I wasn't going to let you switch.
Whatever Elliot says, I'm going to go with on this one.
Right. Okay. Elliot?
Tanya wised up.
Elliot's
Elliot,
my lifeline.
There's a lot of pressure here. He was voted as one of the 50 most stylist men in the past 50 years by GQ magazine. Real
That's
or ridiculous?
Stylist?
Most stylist men.
Hmm.
Can't think what they would mean by that.
Probably like sartorial, very well dressed.
Ooh, okay. Sartorial.
Stylist.
Thank wow.
You. What do you think? Impressed. Real or ridiculous?
Well, he would be one of the most sartorial, so I'm going to go with real.
Roger?
Yeah, I'll go with real.
For Cara. Me, there's no pressure because I'm going with Elliot. I mean,
Elliot, we're just going to continue going with you because you are absolutely right. That is real. Carl, you finally
Elliot
figured it out.
Elliot got all three of them.
He did.
Elliot, you want to do this job? You want to come to WGN every Saturday
I'm
and
on
Sunday?
My way.
All right. You could just do this for
minutes.
Me.
We got one more hour. If you can be here by 1 o'clock, you're. Oh no, we're done at one.
We're done at one.
45 minutes.
Anyhow, Elliot, you have won a great prize. It is the desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. Of course, they are the 60-Minute Men. Give them a call at 855-955-HVAC.
There you go. Great job, Elliot.
Thank you for playing.
Way to go, buddy.
Take care.
Right. You
too. Yep, he got it right. He got three of them right.
Yeah.
I got one because I agreed with him. That's the only reason.
Yeah, it's been a big weekend.
You agreed with me.
I think you've gotten like two right now this weekend.
This was a bad weekend
for
me.
Very bad.
Yeah. Wow.
Must be something in the air. By the way,
I should have just flipped a coin each time. I would have done better.
You definitely
right?
would do better.
I would have done better if I flipped
sure.
a coin.
And you
that's
would
flip
yourself
you.
If you had a good knee.
Maybe he could do a cartwheel someday.
Falling down
I'm
going to
use my Michael Caine.
So we got to give credit to the listener who called in or texted in and said that it was the St. Louis Browns, not the White Sox.
Correct. That is
thought
Bill
really
Vec,
true.
But
I
it was Bill
was
Vec. He was managing the St. Louis Browns.
Oh,
and that's when he brought in.
Okay.
So he managed a lot of different teams. And
gotcha.
In fact, he had a majority stake in the Browns.
And thank you for taking my advice and looking it up.
And looking it up.
All right.
Unfortunately, I've closed my text in line.
Roger, are you enjoying your Classic Radio Club?
I love my Classic Radio Club. Links. Thank you so much.
Are you loving it?
I love the digital stuff that I'm getting now.
Yeah. See,
fantastic.
I do too.
Yeah, well, folks, if you want to join the Classic Radio Club, go to classicradioclub.com, just like Roger and Lisa do. All right. Are you ready for the CBS Radio Workshop? Now, this series came to radio in 1956 for two seasons. It was billed as radio's distinguished series to man's imagination. Now, this was a revival of the earlier Columbia Workshop series, and it used some of the same writers and directors. You know, like X-1 was a revival of Dimension X.
Right.
This series, the CBS Radio Workshop, was a revival of the Columbia Workshop. Now, it dramatized works by Robert A. Heinlein, Sinclair Lewis, Edgar Allan Poe, Frederick Pohl, James Thurber, Mark Twain, other luminaries.
Yeah.
And it used Los Angeles's best supporting actors. It didn't have any movie stars, really, but had like William Conrad, Elliot Lewis, Paul Frees, Hans Conried.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it had the pros on the series.
Right.
Really,
classics
really
of the business,
good
sure.
series. Really good drama series.
And I was 4 years old.
Yeah, back then.
Yeah,
all right,
six,
there you go. Well, back on July 7th, 1957, you know what they did?
No.
They dramatized You Could Look It Up, the classic story about the day that a little person played Major League Baseball.
We
have it for you right now. Let's go back to that broadcast date of 1957 for part one now of the CBS Radio Workshop.
That line drive was foul, just by inches. Bugs Courtney can certainly clobber that ball. Well, here we are, first of the night, two men out, two on base, and the count on Bugs, 3 balls, 2 strikes. Score, 0-0. This is Del Sharbert at Ringo Stadium in St. Louis. You know, if St. Louis wins today, it'll be a clean sweep, having won a doubleheader 7-2 and 10-0 yesterday. Looks like the league leaders are fading pretty fast, and St. Louis might take over. Well, now the outfield has moved back into position, and here's the pitch. Ball four. Bugs walks, filling the bases. Now up comes their slugger, Hank Metters. Hey, wait a minute. There's a terrific rhubarb. It looks like a youngster coming up to the plate.
Hey, check this, Dad. No, if Pat be a youngster, he has a big cigar in his mouth. Little bat and a big cigar. Well, here's the scoop on the rhubarb. For the first time in big league baseball, we have batting in the cleanup position for the league-leading champs, Pearl DeMondo, a midget.
You are listening to the CBS Radio Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind. Today we salute two great American institutions. The institution of James Grover Thurber, whose penetrating vision into the word and line has brought so much happiness to so many. And to the institution of baseball, a slice of Americana that quickens the pulse of the nation with the battle cry, play ball. Our efforts today are directed to the little leaguers with stars in their eyes, to the players in the minors hoping for that call which will take them to the majors and their big chance, to the players in the majors who this day are struggling so hard to live up to that promise, to the thousands of grandmothers who died so abruptly of a Wednesday afternoon so that their devoted grandsons could pay them homage in ballparks all over our nation, and to you husbands who can't remember an anniversary or a birthday, but when called on, can give the batting averages in both leagues for the past 20 years. We challenge you with James Thurber's You Could Look It Up.
What most people in our town think of baseball, they think of Squawks McGrew. He came by this handle because of a peculiar quality of voice. When things were fouled up and the team was in a slump, he'd start screaming, and then it would happen. Suddenly, he'd almost lose his voice and end up squealing like a little girl whose doll had been stepped on. All this was several years ago, when McGrew was a manager and making one of the greatest names in baseball. Now the old boy had come home to rock away his last innings. I was making my annual visit. My paper sent me to get a story to find out who would play in the World Series. McGrew had an uncanny genius for prophecy, speaking a language all his own, and for baseball.
Hello, Larry. Come on in.
Thanks, Mr. McGrew.
Now, don't tell me, boy, that another year has passed.
Great, so. Well, Mr. McGrew, I won't take up much of your time. You've always said the teams in first place the 4th of July usually win the series. This year, it's the Yankees and Cincinnati. You think that's the way it's going to wind up?
No, don't hurry me, boy. Let's set out here on the porch and rock a while, hmm? Speaking of those teams in first place and the 4th of July and all that, I'd like to tell you how once we led the whole league by about 7-8 games till about mid-September. Within a few days, that margin was trimmed down so as you could got it in the eye of a thimble, just being about half a game ahead of St. Louis. Now, we've just been belted by Pittsburgh, was headed down to Columbus for an exhibition game. What a slump we was in. The boys run around snarling at each other, eating bad, sleeping worse. Batting for the team average is maybe hot 186. Half the time, nobody would speak, nobody else, lest it was to ball them out. Son, this is probably a long way to tell you. Would you like some lemonade?
No, thanks, Mr. McGrew. Tell me, what happened in Columbus?
Well, even Columbus shut us out. 3-2. Don't mind telling you, son, I was mighty near crazy, what with the hitting and all. While we was at the Chittenden Hotel and really snarling, believe me, I wished I was dead. I was sitting at the bar of the old Chittenden, killing time, waiting on the train to St. Louis, when up comes Bugs Courtney.
Squawks!
Get lost, Bugs.
Bugs, you gotta get in the dining room. The boys are killing each other. Whitey Cut just hit Billy Klinger between the eyes with a T-bone steak.
Let them blind each other. Can't none of them see anyways. Go on, beat it, Bugs.
Look, Squawk, if you want a bar club...
I said beat it. And remember, Bugs, the Wright brothers have still got to build an airship big enough for you to hit with a ball bat. Oh, bartender.
Yes, Mr. McGrew?
How I pity me, brother, how I pity me. I thought I was the manager of a great ball team. Instead of that, I'm managing a bunch of blindfolded circus clowns.
Are you right? I seen that game today, Junior. You ain't got no ball club. What you got there, Junior, is a sideshow.
Bartender. Bartender, bring me some black coffee. I must be having the DTs. I swear I've been talking to a 2.5-foot man.
It's all right, Mr. McGrew. This little guy here is Pearl Dumanville.
Pearl Dumanville? Pearl? I thought that was a girl's name.
Hold it, Junior.
What do you mean, Junior?
But don't pay him no attention. Pearl calls everybody Junior, because it always turns out he's a year older than anybody else.
Oh, yeah? Well, how old is he?
How old are you, Junior?
Oh, me? I'm 53.
Well, I'm 54.
Okay. What do you have, Dad?
Same as you, Junior. Give me a lift up in the bar, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Right this way, folks. Come right in and see the greatest collection of freaks in the world. See the armless pitcher. See the infielders with five subs. See the eyeless batters.
That's great, Pearl. That's great. You tell him. Go on. Oh,
come on, boss. The fellas want to get out of here. People are staring at us.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Pearl, I want you to meet my clowns. Clowns, this is Pearl Dumanville, a monsieur of the old school. Now, watch it, Pearl. Don't shake hands with him. The fingers are made of chalk. It'll bust right off in your paw.
Oh, you're begging me, Pearl. You're begging me, girl. Come on in, folks. Step right up and see the legless base runner. See the outfielders with butterfingers. See the southpaw with the arm of a child.
I'm a child. All right, quiet, fellas. Whitey, Hank, want you two to bring the Pearl along. He's coming as mascot.
What?
And I'm holding you two guys responsible.
Hey, wait a minute, Junior. How am I going without no toothbrush? What am I going to do with no other suit?
The boys will take care of you. Okay, I'm going to check out. I'll see you at the train. See the guys with the glass arms, eh? See the guys with the cast iron brains. See the players with feet on their wrists.
Shorty, why don't you go home now, huh? Come morning and McGrew will forget all about you.
Yeah. He probably thinks you were something he's seen in a nightmare, and he won't laugh so easy in the morning either. Now, why don't you go on home?
Nix. Skidoo. And 23 for you. Mr. Pearl Dumanville is heading for St. Louis.
That's the first portion of the CBS Radio Workshop with You Could Look It Up from July 7th, 1957. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes.
Drivers, please stay alert when driving in all of our child-filled areas. Arrive alive, don't text and drive. This message courtesy of Cindy Lynn Motel, located at 5029 West Ogden Avenue in Cicero. Stop by or call 708-656-1730. 708-656-1730. Cindy Lynn Motel is reminding everyone to arrive alive, don't text and drive.
Okay, don't forget, folks, that when you shop at Woodman's, you can take a photo with your smartphone of the receipt, your Woodman's receipt, and email it to Woodman's WGN at gmail.com. And what happens, Lisa?
Oh, we're going to get some free classic radio downloads.
Yeah, 12 shows, 12 classic radio shows for shopping at Woodman's. It's just a way to say thank you for maybe switching over to Woodman's from another grocery chain. And I think you will really like it if you do. I have switched over permanently. I used to use a different grocer. And now that I am shopping at Woodman's, I'm saving a lot of money every time I do it. And I don't need the links because I have the shows. But you know what?
But you still shop at Woodman's.
But I still shop at Woodman's. But you know what? You folks can not only save money by shopping at Woodman's, but you'll get 12 classic radio shows. Each month we switch out the shows. So now for June we have 12 more shows. So if you've been getting them every month, and a lot of people get them every single month, you know, they send in, it's the same people, a lot of the same people sending in. It's a great way to build your collection, save money, and get a great great product, because Woodman is employee owned, and they have many stores in the Chicagoland area and in Wisconsin, and you save money, Lisa. Plus, you know what?
What?
Giant carts.
You like the big carts?
Huge carts.
I'll take you for a ride in the cart.
They have the biggest carts in the business.
Would you fit in the cart?
Yes, I would fit in the cart.
Would you trust me to give you a ride in the cart?
Are you saying I'm like big?
No, I don't know how big. Like when you say big, I'm wondering if it's big enough to hold you.
It would hold me.
Then, yeah.
It would hold like three or four people. The carts are big.
Three or four of you?
Yeah. It's a big cart.
That big. You think three or four people could fit in the carts at Woodman's?
Yes, you can.
We'll have to try that out.
I mean, you'd have to squeeze in there, but
I think
let's go to Woodman's.
That.
Let's get three or four people.
See if we could throw
squeeze them all in there. Take a picture
you
and
post it. You
have
to really like each other.
Yeah, and hopefully you've all taken a bath or something that day.
We have to really like
yeah.
each other.
All right.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Use of cellular devices while driving may cause visual, manual, and mental distractions. Please keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your mind solely on driving. This message, courtesy of Cicero Pediatrics, now accepting new patients. They serve children from birth to the age of 21. Most insurance accepted. Si habla español. They're open Monday through Saturday. Call today to schedule your appointment. 708-477-6700. That's 708-477-6700. Cicero Pediatrics, on the air because they care.
All right, Lisa, it's time for the conclusion to You Could Look It Up on the CBS Radio Workshop.
Hey, McGrew, remember where you found this? Or maybe you think they come with a breakfast on his tray.
Sneeze, your brains is dusty.
Here, here's a towel. Wipe your face. Sit down here, Bugs.
There's a real couple of Damon and Phidiases across the aisle, ain't they?
Hi, guys.
Why do we got enough trouble around here today? Why don't you go over and play with your midget friend?
What kind of a crack is that? Oh, let that have it, yeah. Your wise guy.
Oh, yeah?
I'll give you
rash.
Yeah.
That's what I got for a ball club, Mr. DuMont Bill. Rashless.
A man can't be good at everything, but he ought to be good at something.
Oh, I wish I was manager of an old lady's sewing circle instead of a ball club.
That's great, Junior. That's great. You are. You are.
Oh, you little sword off.
Right, lay off, Hank. Now listen, you guys. If any of you hurt Pearl, I'll break your neck. Pearl here is the official mascot. And I want him to have a miniature suit and everything, just like the rest of us. And Hank, I'm holding you responsible.
Thanks a lot.
Well, the first thing you're going to do, Pearl, is get rid of that cigar. And if you wear our suit on the field and go insulting it, I am going myself to take you out of the zoo and feed you to the bears.
Quiet! Blow smoke in my face, will you?
Hold it.
I told you, no trouble. If anything happens to him, Hank, you're responsible. Now, remember, you guys, we have a doubleheader tomorrow. So see if you can try hard enough not to disgrace Pearl and me. Okay. Now clear out. Pearl and I have some serious talking to do. Pearl, I tell you, them clowns are sure taking a lot out of me. I wished I was dead.
What makes you think you ain't, Junior? What makes you think you ain't?
Oh, now let you off, will you? Pearl, tell me the truth. How old are you?
I told you, 54.
Okay, okay. How tall are you?
I'm 31 and a half. No, 32 inches tall.
32 inches? That's fine. Tomorrow, I'm taking out legal and proper papers constituting one Pearl Dumanville a bona fide member of this former ball club. Maybe that'll shame them big babies into getting in there and swinging, knowing I can replace any of them with a midget. I beg your pardon, Pearl.
It's okay, Junior.
Yes, sir, I'm going to make it all legal and proper.
Headline drive was fouled just by inches. Bugs Courtney can certainly clobber that ball. Well, here we are, first of the ninth. Two men out, two on base, and the count on Bugs, three balls, two strikes. Score nothing to nothing. This is Del Sharbert at Ringo Stadium in St. Louis. If St. Louis wins today, it'll be a clean sweep, having won a doubleheader 7-2 and 10-0 yesterday. It looks like the league leaders are fading fast, and St. Louis will take over. Well, now the outfield has moved back into position, and here's the pitch. Ball four. Bugs walks, filling the bases. And now up comes their slugger, Hank Metters. Wait a minute. There's a terrific rhubarb. It looks like a youngster coming up to the plate. Check this, Ted. No, it can't be a youngster. He has a big cigar in his mouth. A little bat and a big cigar. Oh, well, now, here's the scoop on the rhubarb. For the first time in big league baseball, we have batting in the cleanup position for the league-leading champ, Pearl Dumanville, a midget. Well, this rhubarb seems to be growing and growing. I'm sure it's going to be a few minutes before they can get this game going again. So we've sent Ted down on the field with a portable mic. Can you hear me, Ted? Ladies and gentlemen, I see the St. Louis manager is up out of the dugout, and everyone is screaming and yelling. Again, we'll try to take you down on the field. Ted, come in. Ted, can you hear me? Come in. Come in.
Okay, Del. I'm down here, and the pandemonium here is terrific. We'll try to get as much of the conversation as possible. Here's McGrew and umpire Kelly screaming at each other.
I'm telling you, McGrew. I'm telling you, get a batter up there or you'll forfeit the game.
I told you I'm sending in a pinch hitter. There he is, Pearl Dumanville. You stand right beside me, Pearl.
You got yourself a boy, Junior. Watch it, McGrew. Here comes that squarehead, the St. Louis manager.
McGrew, what are you trying to pull? Are you trying to disgrace baseball? They ought to bring the funny wagon for you. You know there ain't no pitcher alive can pitch no ball to no pitcher.
It's all proper and legal. Here are the papers, Kelly. Sign with the owners, okay for the manager. Here you are, now look it up.
I don't care what no papers say. He's a midget. Doesn't look right to me. He's using the kid's bat.
I don't care about any of that.
But McGrew, where you been keeping him all season?
McGrew, maybe we had better get out of here. Here comes the field up by with the rule book.
Well, looks like it's legal and proper, just like McGrew said. All right, get back to your places. Get back in the dugout. Now, if there's any more screaming here, St. Louis will forfeit the game. Okay, McGrew, since you're half ball player in there.
Okay.
Well, you just stand up there and hold that bat on your shoulder. There ain't a man in the world who can throw three strikes in there before he can throw four balls.
I get it, Junior. You'll have to walk me, and that will force in the winning run.
That's it, Pearl. That's it. Just stand there. Don't let me down.
I won't. Junior, light my cigar for me. You and me is gonna make history.
This is Del Sharbert up in the press box again. Thank you, Ted. Thanks for that clarification of what's going on down there. Well, we are... Hey, wait a minute. The pitcher threw his glove on the ground and is stamping on it.
I don't blame him, inasmuch as he's just walked two normal-sized men. Now he has a man at the plate who couldn't be more than 15 inches between his knees and his shoulders.
Fly ball!
The catcher is towering over the batter like the Washington Monument. Wait a minute. I have never seen anything like this. The plate umpire started standing on his tiptoes. Now he tries bending down. Nothing seems to work. Oh, this crowd is going mad. Well, he has a stance that no one has ever seen on a ball field before. The umpire is squatting on his haunches. All right, here's the first pitch. Ball one. That was 2 feet over DeMonkel's head. The catcher is going out to the mound now to talk to the pitcher. He hands him the ball. He comes back to the plate. And now, here's the pitch. Side armor. Ball two. Well, that one was a little closer. With a normal-sized man, I think it would have been a strike. With DeMonville, it was about a foot and a half above his head. The catcher's going out to the mound again. And the third baseman's also come into the mound to talk things over. DeMonville is just standing there, motionless, with that tiny bat over his shoulder. But he's blowing smoke rings. Well, here comes the catcher back. Boy, he gave DeMonville a look like he would like to see him in a bottle of alcohol. This is really fantastic. The runners on the bases have sat down on the bags. All right, ready for the next pitch. Here it comes. This is the slowest ball I've ever seen pitched. It's coming slow. I believe it's going to be a... Oh, no! He hits the ball!
Fair ball!
The ball is rolling slowly down toward third. The infield is coming in fast. DeMonville is running toward first. The runners are up from their bases and are coming in. I think the catcher has the ball. No, he booted it out past the pitcher's box. The pitcher has fallen on his face trying to stop it. I believe the shortstop has it. DeMonville still running toward first. The shortstop kicks the ball and is rolling toward second base. The runners are all in. DeMonville still running toward first, still 20 feet from the bag. The second baseman has finally gotten the ball, and here's the throw.
Yeah!
Everything has broken loose down there on the field, and I'm going to try to pick up Ted. Ted, come in.
Here I am, Dell, down here by first. Pandemonium's broken loose. Here comes McGrew, running with tears streaming down his face. I'll try to pick this up, Dell.
Pearl, what did you do it? Pearl!
I had to hit it, Mr. McGrew. You see, I'm a man.
A man, huh? Well, there's one man that's going to throw another man right out of the ballpark.
Back up here in the press box. This is amazing. It looks like McGrew is swinging his batter around like a hammer thrower. And it looks like DeMonville is the hammer. Nobody can get near him without getting his head knocked off. And now he lets him go. And it looks like DeMonville is headed for the soap sign in center field. And there goes the St. Louis center fielder on a dead run. Back, trying to get under DeMonville. And he's got him.
As he ran out of the ballpark, he looked like one of those dash hounds with a satchel in his mouth, still smoking that big cigar. Yep, that was the end of DeMonville, and that was the end of our losing streak, too. When we got in the locker room that day, we couldn't look at each other. And then suddenly we all started laughing and kidding, and I quit complaining and wishing I was with the Angels. Well, sir, we went on to Chicago and took all four games. Got 17 hits in the first game. Poor old St. Louis. They were so shook up by that last game with us, they never did hit the stride again. Their center fielder who caught Pearl, well, he took to misjudging everything that come his way. The rest of the team followed suit. That's the way it is when a club of one guy blows up. Well, sir, my boys all went together and bought a pair of them little baby shoes. Got them golded, give them to me as a souvenir. Great guys. Whitey Billy made up. We come home like a ton of dynamite. Went on to win that pennant.
Quite a story, Mr. McGrew.
Yeah, it happened about 25 years ago. Suppose it seems like a long time ago to you, boy, but to me it seems just like yesterday. Bugs Courtney is standing up at the players' dinner and saluting what he called the greatest man and a half in baseball. Me and Pearl DeMondville. You see, Pearl was right. We did kind of make history. And Larry, all this is in the record books. If you don't believe it, you could look it up.
You've been listening to the CBS Radio Workshop, presenting James Thurber's You Could Look It Up. Written, produced, and directed for radio by D. Engelbach. Music by Richard Heyman. Heard in our cast were Ralph Bell, Sarah Fussell, Larry Haynes, Harold Huber, Joe Julian, David Kerman, Del Sharpett. Next week from Hollywood, the CBS Radio Workshop brings you John Train's Silent Witness, starring one of Hollywood's finest actors, Raymond Burr. The CBS Radio Workshop has come to you from New York. This is Ted Pearson speaking. You hear America's favorite shows on the CBS Radio Network.
It's kind of interesting because they that particular show was broadcast from New York, but then the next week's show, starring Raymond Burr, was going to be broadcast from Los Angeles. So this particular program at the time, CBS Radio Workshop in 1957, was using two studios and two casts. They were sometimes bringing you a cast from New York and other times bringing you a cast from Los Angeles. Not too many shows did that, Lisa. That was not the norm. But maybe later in, this is 1957.
Yeah.
So maybe later in the, the days of radio when it was already waning and television had really taken over, they maybe did stuff like that. So that was You Could Look It Up, starring Ralph Bell. And we had a couple of people text in and asked the actor that was playing the little person, was that actually a little person? And the answer to that is no. The actor was Sarah Fussell, and her sort of expertise back in the golden age of radio was to play young boys. She was able to play the part of boys, young boys, and so they cast her as the this little person in this particular episode. Hope you enjoyed the CBS Radio Workshop.